This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is away. Scan the AM dial in almost any major city in America, and you're likely to find a loud, forceful voice praising conservative values. If you keep scanning, you might find sports or news and another voice praising conservative values. Rush Limbaugh is a household name and is heard by 20 million listeners on 600 radio stations across America. And there are other radio hosts doing very well with a similar message, Sean Hannity, Michael Reagan, Dr. Laura, just to name a few. Some people say it's high time American radio listeners had an alternative. Attempts at a national liberal talk show have been made in the past with mixed results, but now a group of investors from the Chicago area say they want their liberal Limbaugh, and they say they have the money to back it. We'll speak with one of the backers and with critics from the left and the right. Also this hour, TV dinners, 50 years of culinary convenience. But first, putting a liberal voice in the talk radio world, we invite you to join the conversation. Do you think radio is too conservative or is it too liberal? Who might be a star for liberal radio? Does the liberal message suit AM talk show format? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us on the phone from his office in Northbrook, Illinois, is Shelley Drobny. He's a venture capitalist and one of the leaders of Anshel Media, a group that is investing $10 million in a plan to start up a radio network of liberal voices. Shelley Drobny, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you today.
What's the goal of this venture, Shelley?
Well, first of all, I want to let you know that, first and foremost, I'm a venture capitalist and a businessman who happens to be a Democrat. And what we have recognized and done a lot of work at in the last year is opposition research. And that's one of the things that we recognize as venture capitalists. We've been in various industry sectors before, which range from environmental, technology, healthcare. And we've done a study for the last year about what we consider to be a wide opening of entertaining, and the key is entertaining, and creative talk show, which is a Rush Not version. And that creates a wide span of interest because we know that the Rush market and the right-wing market, although they've done a great job, and I put on my hats off to them for making great entertainment that feeds the expectations of the radio listener, what the liberals have failed to do is they've failed to understand that you first and foremost must be entertaining, and in that respect, it makes all the difference in the world.
Shelley, are you saying liberals don't have a sense of humor?
No, I have a sense of humor. I'm a funny guy. My wife thinks first of all, my wife, Anita, who's my life partner and also my partner in business, is the chairwoman of this enterprise. And she has led an amazing staff of entrepreneurs and other people who are going to make this thing happen. And we're just the venture fund, which has invested the first $10 million in this, and which is very traditional in venture capital because you need the lead investor and the seed investor to make this happen. And what we have the luxury of is having a very entrepreneurial organization that has the ability to do about a year's worth of research in advance of us getting into the market. And first and foremost, entertainment is a niche market that has to be entertaining, and we have to be funny, and we have to be very consistent in terms of which radio stations we're on. You can't sandwich a liberal talk show host in between Rush and Sean and expect to realize the expectation of the listeners. That's about as sensible as having a country and western station having rap rock for about an hour. So we have the model to make it work, and we have now understood why talk liberal radio hasn't worked, because it hasn't been done in a very businesslike and entertaining fashion.
You know, we probably should define what you mean by liberal here. We're talking about liberal talk radio, and liberal is kind of one of those fuzzy words. I mean, how far left would you want your host to go?
Well, you know, I believe that the market other than Rush is about 95% of the American public. If you really look at the numbers, and there's a lot of misinformation about what Rush is doing and the entire talk radio market, they're really an entertainment vehicle. And they satisfy a particular audience And that doesn't represent 280 million people. It represents about anywhere from 20 to 30 million people a week who have certain expectations when they turn on the radio dial, just like the people who listen to NPR have certain expectations. And you can't violate the expectations of the listener. Believe me, there are very many people who are hungry for a radio station that has a consistent message that is not mixed with other types of things that kind of violate the listener's expectations. And that's where everybody else has missed the boat. And we really believe that not only do independent stations, other than the big ones like Clear Channel, ABC, and Premier, but there are a lot of independent stations that are looking for an alternative format of content that really is very motivating to them in terms of creating profitable operations.
Now, there have been efforts in the past to bring liberal talk shows to the airwaves. Jim Hightower is one example, who's a guy who can be very funny when he makes a speech. Mario Cuomo, very charming, certainly right out there with his opinions. He has a sense of humor as well. What happened there?
Well, as I said to you, those shows are sandwiched in between the talk radio stations that are primarily right-wing. And that makes about as much sense as I said before, putting on a country and western station 1 or 2 hours of rap music. And as a result, the listeners are not interested. The ones who are listening to rap music are another channel because they don't expect to wait till the country and western stations are over. Same is true for let's say non-Rush. I think liberal is kind of a term that is sort of a tag with generalizations that have no meaning to me. We're looking for good, solid entertainment that is the alternative to Rush, and that is a wide span of middle to left, hard-hitting entertainment, which includes someone like Al Franken, for example, who is not only entertaining and funny, but is extremely creative. And our content is not to compete with Rush Limbaugh, but to have an alternative with a different kind of audience and a different format for entertainment. And we're also trying to appeal to a younger crowd who is, up until this particular war talk, has really been agnostic about politics. And, you know, that's something that is a really open audience. And most of the young people are getting their political education from Saturday Night Live, from the Comedy Channel, and from David Letterman and Late Night Talk. And if you look at that format, that's been very successful and has drawn a very, very good audience. And if you do it in that format with a consistency within one radio station, I mean, there are radio stations in every market in America that are looking for that kind of format. And the content and syndication model is wonderful for radio station because it eliminates a lot of expenses that they already have that they will not have to expend if they accept our content on a syndication model.
We're talking with Shelley Drobny. He's part of a group that's investing $10 million in a plan to start up a radio network of liberal voices. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. The number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And let's go to a caller. Tom in Burbank, California. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
I have mixed emotions. If I were any farther left, I'd fall off the globe. So at least understand where I'm coming from. I'm a lifelong Democrat. Well, I think we do need alternative voices. I wonder how this fits in with NPR and Pacifica. And I'm always concerned if we say that we're going to have a completely liberal-leaning network or syndication, are we justifying or saying what the right does is correct? It's like when the political correctness was developed and it was fascism of the left. If the left says it's okay to censor, we justify everything that the right does. At the same time, tell me what the symbol is, and I'll tell my broker to buy a couple shares. I think it's definitely a worthy project. I just always wonder at what level will this be? Will it be more like Bill Maher and politically incorrect? Will liberal mean balanced and open versus slanted versus the other slant?
Shelley Drobny?
Well, you know, we have a completely different concept for our content. And I know that the only alternative. And I have to tell you, I'm a progressive and a liberal myself. But, you know, whatever that means. The thing about it is that my only alternative has been NPR, okay? And I'm in the Chicago area, and Pacifica is not really available here. What we're trying to do is create good, solid entertainment. That's first and foremost. Remember, NPR is more, although it's entertaining to a certain extent, it is more informationally oriented and not necessarily, and I'm not saying, Lynn, that you don't have an entertaining show. I'm just saying that.
I've been keeping my mouth very.
That, you know, if you study radio from its history and you get to the point where television came in and they thought radio was going to be dead, radio started to develop niche markets. And I think what the right wing has done has developed a wonderful niche market. And because of their influence, they have actually moved the mainstream broadcast media to the right by virtue of the fact that they have a lot of popularity. The entertainment model and the consistency within a particular station is the thing that we're very sure is going to work. And I'll give you some evidence of this. You know, the very people who have syndicated and are syndicating the right wing know that it's a very crowded space. And as a result, you can only do so many right-wing talk show hosts. Well, the Westwoods of the world, which syndicate O'Reilly and Infinity and all the others, are really offering major lucrative contracts to the left-of-center talent that we're working with. So if those guys are doing it, that's a sure signal that they know that there's a market.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. We have some emails here. Let me read one quickly. Are you aiming for AM or FM? And it says FM, please. And please define the demographic characteristics of the identified audience.
Well, we're looking for either AM or FM. You know, we're going to be entering major markets. And we're looking for, you know, again, this is a question that my CEO, John Sinton, can answer better because he's a radio entrepreneur with a lot of experience. But my understanding is that we're trying to enter the market with either AM or FM and those that have strong enough signals that will reach, you know, metropolitan areas and they won't fade out if you drive 10 miles.
One other thing, it seems like the conservative talk shows really kind of grew organically. You know, the audience for Rush Limbaugh, it grew pretty gradually. You heard of him. He got bigger. Are you trying to force something on the market now? I mean, and impose somebody who is already well-known and hope that that well-known person is going to draw an audience? Somebody like Al Franken, who is very well-known?
Well, we're not trying to force anything on anybody. What we're trying to do, and I think we'll be successful at doing, is create lead talent in the long-form show, which is a three-hour show, and the short-form show, which, by the way, Paul Harvey has mastered very well. Paul Harvey is probably the highest-paid employee of ABC, and in that little three- or four-minute show, he's been able to muster a lot of money. So we're going to have a very good pool of talent on the short form aspect. And in that way, even existing radio stations that have good, successful programming can fit in 3 or 4 minutes without even changing their programming. So the two elements are very important. And you all know about Paul Harvey. He's from Chicago.
Right.
And he's done extremely well. So the short format is really very, very well received. And if we have the right kind of message from entertaining people, whether they're political people or just generally Hollywood people or just good, you know, entertainment value, I think that will also be a very, very productive side of our business plan.
Shelley, here's a quick email. You don't have to answer this. I'm a creative Abby Hoffman, Al Franken, liberal, unemployed IT consultant in California. Where can I get a job?
Well,
Shelley Drobny, thanks so much for joining us. Shelley Drobny is with Anshel Media, a group planning a liberal talk radio network, and he joined us by phone from his office in Northbrook, Illinois. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking about a project to produce liberal talk radio to answer the conservative voice heard on programs like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Reagan. Joining us now from his office in Alexandria, Virginia, is Brent Bozell. He's president of the Media Research Center and editor of the book How to Identify, Expose, and Correct Liberal Media Bias. Thank you for being with us on Talk of the Nation, Mr. Bozell.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
And you, our listeners, are invited to join in the discussion. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Mr. Bozell, do you believe that Mr. Drobny's claims have merit? Are there no liberal talk radio shows on the commercial airwaves?
Well, I think he's right in the sense that there are precious few. Jim Hightower in Texas comes to mind as one of the biggest. But he is more populist than he is liberal. He's very radical in some ways, but he's more populist Texan than anything else. But from the standpoint of the for-profit arena, although conservatives do dominate, they don't control. But I think he's got a problem when he excludes from the equation, with all due respect, National Public Radio. There is a strong market for liberal voices, and it's being satisfied by NPR to a great degree. So I mean, I wish him all the luck in the world, but I think he's going to have a real problem because I don't know that he has the talent, the message, or the market.
Why would you say NPR is the liberal voice? What would make you say that?
It's a contention that conservatives have made for about the entire existence of NPR. Conservatives don't see NPR as having a right-of-center bias. They see it as having a left-of-center bias, not in everything, but overall that it has that. If that's the case, then the market that wants a left-of-center perspective on the news is being satisfied, since NPR is in just about every market in America. Now, is there a greater market than that? Is there a market that hungers for a for-profit, a Rush Limbaugh perspective from a left-of-center standpoint? If so, it would have been satisfied by now. As a matter of fact, I travel around the country, and I've been told numerous times by station managers that they get complaints from liberal organizations that the radio station in question is dominated by the right, and they need to put liberals on there. They put liberals on there, and they have to let them go after a few weeks because, unfortunately, there isn't a market for what they have to offer. So I mean, this is going to be market-driven. They may have deep pockets in this new corporation. For their sake, I hope they do, because the market's going to ultimately decide this. And if the market supports it, more power to them.
My sense of what they're looking for here, and this is leaving NPR, the NPR discussion aside for the moment, because I'm not sure we're going to agree upon that one. But I think they're looking for, if they're using Rush Limbaugh as the model on the right, it seems to me that they're looking for somebody who's just going to be outrageously out there on the left and say whatever they think with absolutely no attempt at trying to be fair or be balanced in any way, which I have to say I think at NPR we do make that attempt, whether you agree with it or not. But they're looking for somebody who probably would make no attempt at that, would just be right out there, I'm a lefty, and I'm a funny lefty, mm-hmm. to boot. Mm-hmm. And that seems to me what they feel needs to be there to offset the Rush Limbaughs of the world.
Well, unfortunately for them, what they want and what you want and what I want and $2 will buy you a cheap Starbucks. It doesn't matter what they want. It matters only what the market wants in a market economy. The question is, will the market support that kind of messenger with that kind of message? If the market will, then they may be onto something. But I would submit to you, Lynn, what you said before the break got to the hub of this. You pointed out that Rush Limbaugh built his audience slowly. Another way of putting that is that Rush Limbaugh built his audience from the bottom up. It gained. There was no master plan that he was following. It started from on a grassroots level, and it spread out around the country to the point where he is today. For a liberal network to succeed, it's going to have to do the same thing. You can't do it top to bottom. You can't do it out of a studio in Chicago and have a marketing plan from Chicago. It's going to have to grow from the grassroots. Is there a market for that? And I submit to you, Lynn, if there were, it would have happened by now.
All right, let's take a call now. And the number, if you'd like to join our discussion, is 1-800-989-8255. Gabe in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm afraid your guest just stole my point. I feel, and I think a lot of people feel that Rush is really the answer to national liberal radio and the national media.
Are you a listener to Rush? You like Rush?
No, actually, I don't listen to Rush. I listen to NPR, but my views are more conservative. I'm technically a libertarian, but of course, I have to vote Republican. I feel more in line with Rush, even though I don't listen to him. I like to keep up what the enemy is doing. That's why I listen to NPR.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for your call, Gabe.
Okay. Can I answer something on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Your caller says something interesting here. I've told Rush this before, and I've told other conservatives, that they ought to thank the liberal media, the news media, every day, because if it weren't for the liberal press, they wouldn't have jobs. The reason they have such great markets and they have such strong syndications is because people are looking for an alternative of what they find in the conventional news media. That's why they've grown. Now, will the left see that? I think maybe the more far left element in politics might find that. Is it true that liberals don't show much of a sense of humor? I.e. Mario Cuomo and Doug Wilder, who have tried and failed to go on radio. I think that's true also. Could Al Franken be successful? He might be with an audience out there. And again, I wish him all the best.
Okay, let's take another call. Alexandra in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Last week you had a guest on who was a conservative writer, and he wrote a book called Dominion. And he had a lot of ideas that overlapped with liberal thinking about animal rights, et cetera. And it was a really interesting conversation, and I thought that I would really like this man and his book. And at the end of the discussion, he made an offhand comment that went without any notice by anyone else that said anything about how he was conservative and therefore moral, and he is moral in his thinking. And something that really bothers me about the discourse between conservatives and liberals is this idea that conservatism is inherently moral and liberalism is inherently immoral, which is not only insulting, but it also shuts down any kind of communication. I feel like liberals are willing, and I particularly am willing, to listen to conservative arguments, and I agree with elements of lots of different arguments that conservatives make, but I'm really sick and tired of being told that I am immoral for my politics, regardless of my actions. I think that is something that I would like to see with the more liberal media. I don't think the general media is all that liberal, but with this proposed radio network, I would like to see them start chipping away at this cliche that conservative equals moral.
All right, Alexandra, let's let Brent Bozell answer that concern.
I think your caller's making a very good point. The late Steve Allen and I used to have discussions on this matter. He was as left-wing as I am right-wing. Yet we were together in an organization trying to restore a sense of decency in Hollywood. I believe that politics has really gotten in the way, as your caller is making a beautiful point of pointing out. It's gotten in the way of civilized discourse, where there is a sense of intolerance on both sides, and people are, because of politics, will refuse to break bread with the other side when, in fact, on certain issues, they have so much in common. And you have to get beyond the politics oftentimes to find solutions.
Well, maybe that's the answer, a left-right radio talk show.
But isn't it interesting that you are seeing it on a number of fronts? Look at the debate in Iraq. What's the conservative position and what's the liberal position? If you want to say it's a liberal position, I know a lot of conservatives who are opposed to it. I think this conservative-liberal thing is being reconfigured as we speak.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Brent Bozell.
Thank you, Lynn.
Brent Bozell is president of the Media Research Center in Alexandria, Virginia. And joining us now on the line from KPFA in Berkeley, California, is Eric Alterman. He's the author of the book, What Liberal Media? Eric, thanks for joining us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Why do you think this effort at developing a liberal talk show is coming up right now, Eric?
Well, I think liberals have figured out that this is a really important arena. You know, I've been promoting this book, and I've been doing the occasional right-wing talk show when they sort of get in a stealth fashion on the schedule. And I'm telling you, there's about as much ideological diversity on talk radio today in the United States as there was in Stalin's Soviet Union in 1934. I mean, it's just not just right wing, it's very far to the right. Bill O'Reilly is genuinely a liberal among these people. And it seems to me that it's worth testing whether or not there's a market for a liberal. It's not an all things considered market. It's not NPR. It's somebody who's willing to mix it up with these people.
Yeah. But is this the way to answer that those conservative voices? I mean, as we've said a couple of times already, the idea that a Rush Limbaugh began organically, that you know, he started from nobody knew who he was, but he certainly had a point of view, and that's what got him where he is now. And it seems like this is an effort to sort of take the point of view and then put a name and a face on the point of view, and it's a little manufactured. Do you think?
Well, there's nothing manufactured about Al Franken. He's a genuine liberal. He's a tough guy. I mean, he wrote a book called Rush Limbaugh's a Big Fat Idiot. And, you know, you can't be any more Rush Limbaugh than that, except from a liberal side. And, I wouldn't do it, but I think it's fine that he does. You know, I keep giving these talks these past few weeks and to liberal audiences mostly, and they all end up saying to me, well, Eric, that was really depressing. What can we do to change things? And my answer is everything. You know, we got to fight them on the beaches. We got to fight them in the streets. We got to fight them in the mountains. We got to fight them in the sea. You need to fight them on talk radio. 40 million people get their news from talk radio. Limbaugh has 15 to 20 million listeners, depending on who you believe, spewing the most amazing nonsense. He went on for minutes and minutes one day about how Tom Daschle was actually Satan. And to tell you the truth, maybe he was kidding, maybe he wasn't. I couldn't tell. But this arena has just got to be entered if liberals are gonna be heard in this country. I like Brent Bozell, but I think it's ridiculous that he thinks that the media are liberal. The media are not liberal, and I don't want to go too deeply into that. But basically, this talk radio thing that keeps talking about the liberal media, that keeps yelling about the liberal media, is a very effective political organizing tool for the right, and liberals will never have a chance to fight fire with fire if they give away this arena. I mean, you can say all you want about how terrific NPR is, and it is terrific. I like it, but it's not about getting people to march in the streets on behalf of a banner, no matter how liberal you might think it is. And by the way, I'm here at KPFA in Berkeley, where my guess is the people here don't think it's very liberal at all.
All right, well, I have an email here that says, I guess you've never listened to the San Francisco airwaves. It seems that we actually need more conservative programs here just to balance the daily liberal doses of how evil our country, culture, and government are. Go ahead.
I was on a conservative San Francisco show yesterday. He's not terribly conservative, but the guy's name is Ron Owens. He supports the war. He calls himself a neoconservative, and he's got the highest rated show in San Francisco. In fact, he outpolls Rush Limbaugh. So I think that listener is not listening to San Francisco radio, or if they are, they're listening even less than I do, because I think conservatives are doing just fine here, as they're doing in every single radio market.
Here's another email. I consider myself to be a pretty liberal guy. I dislike what I hear on right-wing radio, although I will admit to listening to it from time to time. The reason I do is to challenge my own beliefs and concerns, to sharpen my own thinking, and strengthen my personal arguments. I am hardly ever swayed by what I hear from the radio right-wingers, but the better I understand their arguments against my philosophy, the better able I am to defend myself.
You know, I think that person's making a mistake. If they want to sharpen their arguments by listening to conservatives, they should read the Weekly Standard magazine or the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I don't think you learn very much from right-wing radio except about right-wing radio. I mean, as I said, I was on the show yesterday with this guy, Ron Owens, and he's a nice guy and he's not terribly far right. But he kept trying to put words in my mouth. And he kept saying, well, Hillary Clinton says there's a conspiracy. You know, don't you think this? And I kept correcting him. And he thought it was kind of obnoxious of me to correct him to make sure that I only spoke to what I said. And then at the break, I said, Ron, what are you doing? He goes, Eric, I'm an entertainer. You got to understand. This is supposed to be fun. Don't take it so seriously. I think the great strength of the conservatives as far as their manipulation of the medium itself goes is that they know it's entertainment. Liberals are always trying to save the world and make their point they're a bit too earnest. Okay, it's true they're not funny enough. There are funny liberals. Al Franken's funny. Bud Trillin is funny. Molly Ivins is sure as hell funny. But there are not enough of them. Okay, so if we could develop this sort of other wing of liberalism and engage the conservatives and the rest of the country, on this level, I think it would be good for everyone. It'd be good for conservatives to have some competition. They have the whole field to themselves. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I think they're not doing that great with it. They're doing well in terms of ratings, but, you know, this new Michael Savage guy, I just have to say, I'm not just terribly impressed with the quality of discourse.
All right, Eric Alterman is the media columnist for The Nation, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Steve in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Go ahead.
Well, frankly, liberals and even NPR is boring, boring, boring.
Well, why are you listening to us then, Eric?
Well, it's the most informative stuff on the air. I don't have good reception of other stuff either. But there are no absolutes. So if you're going to be a liberal and you're going to stir controversy and be interesting, then go out there and say, yeah, I'm going to defend NAMBLA, the National Association for Man, Boy, Love, because I'm a liberal and it's all that, and just have fun with it. Never mind the fact that it may be abhorrent. If you're a liberal, then say you're liberal about everything and be absolute and be willing to not go into the gray areas.
All right, Steve.
Rush keeps it simple, and he's a brilliant rhetorician.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to let Eric answer you. I'm also going to make one point about National Public Radio, which is that we are a news network, and that means that we do believe that we achieve balance and fairness in our coverage. We don't set out to be in your face, lefties or liberals. That's not what we are about. What we're talking about here is perhaps setting up a talk radio network that wants to be in your face, lefty or liberal. That's something different, I would think. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, well, I agree with that. You know, I would like you to be a little more lefty than you are, but it's unarguable that Rush Limbaugh and Fox News are far more to the right than you could argue that NPR is to the left. I mean, NPR has conservatives on all the time, like David Brooks, and I hear Fred Barnes on there sometimes. But, you know, I think the gentleman caller makes a point sort of in spite of himself, where he's saying that liberals should defend NAMBLA. The National Man Boy Love Association, and just get out there and fight with conservatives. One of the great successes that conservatives have had, Limbaugh and Fox News and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Times, is that they define themselves as the conservative position, and everything else is therefore liberal. So what's really a centrist position or a moderate position or a very wishy-washy, wouldn't it be nice to do the good thing position, which is, I think, the way some people think of NPR and a lot of people thought of the Clintons. That becomes liberal, when in fact it's not liberal. It's anything but liberal, and you never hear the liberal position because the conservatives have been so good at defining the two terms as Fox is conservative, CNN is liberal. Well, I don't think CNN is very liberal. I just think it's not quite as conservative as Fox is.
Yeah.
And colonizing the discourse is the most valuable thing that the right has figured out how to do, and it infuriates me when the so-called liberal media lets them get away with it.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us today, Eric.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Eric Alterman is media columnist for The Nation and author of the book, What Liberal Media? He joined us from KPFA in Berkeley, California. Coming up, from radio to TV and a 50th birthday meal that you can pull right out of your freezer. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.